Okay, can I have a couple?
I have issues in prayer, so. No special reason, other than I'm just a sinner.
Well, I plead the blood of Jesus over you. You know, that's the best. God help him. Yeah, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over this nation and over this world. And Father, we thank you that we're in your hands. And even though we don't understand everything that's happening, you cause all things to work out for those that love you. And Father, we thank you that you have your hand on this situation and that the craziness is going to get worked out and you're going to lead us into victory even though we don't know all the answers. And Father, we thank you that even though we can't trust anybody in this world, we can trust you. And actually, you're the only one we're supposed to fully trust. We thank you for this. Father, we thank you for our Constitution. We thank you for our military. And Father, we thank you for the angels that are surrounding all of us and keeping them safe, and all of our first responders and our lawmen and our border patrol. Father, we ask for this to be resolved peacefully and soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Just in case things go south, keep your pistols locked and loaded. Amen. You know, there's a reason we're free today. You know, there's a reason we have a constitution, because some good, God-fearing men took up rifles and did violence. The idea of the church turning their cheek to everything that happens is absolute nonsense. That is straight from the pit of hell. And it's turned the church into a submissive bunch of little sheeps that just do whatever the government tells them to do, because they think they're being obedient. That's not the way it's supposed to happen. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you are not ever supposed to bow your knee to intimidation, manipulation, or domination. God does not intend for you to be dominated by a government that is supposed to answer to you. Amen? Okay, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? It's refreshing to know that we can trust God and that He gave us the best medicine that we could ever hope to have in the communion. The only thing Paul told us to do is discern the body of Christ. He said the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you are because they do not discern the body of Christ. So remember, there's an anti to everything. So if they die early, if they're sickly and die early because they don't discern the body of Christ, then we can believe that if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect to be healthy and whole. Amen? Here's a really cool thing about the communion, especially in the Word of Faith circles. There's a lot of pressure put on people to receive their healing immediately. You know, God, He meets people where they're at. Did you notice that Jesus, one time, a ruler of the synagogue come up to Jesus and said, if you'll just come lay hands on my daughter, she'll be healed. Jesus said, okay. He was good with that. One time a Roman centurion came up to him and said, all you got to do is just say your word, my servant will be healed. He said, okay. He said, okay. He was good with that. Now, the thing about communion is you can receive a little bit at a time. You can receive from it daily. Now, don't get frustrated if you receive a 30-fold return on His Word and you seem to stall out. Don't get frustrated and give up. Keep taking communion and keep going. Praise Him and thank Him for the 30-fold that you return, that for the 30-fold you received, and go ahead and go after the other 70. Amen? You don't have to receive a full-blown miracle all at once. You can get it one step at a time. And this is how we do it. We take that body and we realize that this is the perfect, sinless body of Christ that was beaten and bruised. He was beaten for our transgressions and He was bruised for our iniquities. And His broken body, we partake of that. He told us to take it as often as we will. We can do it daily. We can do it 3 times a day. You look at this body and you notice that there are stripes. The Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. And you look at this bread, you'll notice that it's been pierced. And everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And every time He shed blood, we received some kind of redemption in some area. And this bread is slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus. So God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated, so He can treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So Father, we thank You. We're taking of this broken body for our healing and well-being. And we praise You for it. The shed blood of Jesus is so pure, so perfectly without sin that it never died. Jesus' blood is still alive and it's still doing what God sent it to do. It's still washing away our sins. 1 John 1:7 tells us that if we walk in the light, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the shed blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Praise God. The blood of Jesus protects us. Well, you should plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. You should plead the blood of Jesus over your friends. You should plead the blood of Jesus over your animals. Plead the blood of Jesus over everything. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that's ever been known to mankind. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. So, Father, we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Is Paula okay?
Got a clock bit.
Oh. All right. Are you looking forward to the future? There's a lot of people that aren't. There's a lot of people that think we're toast. You know, and I suppose if that's all you listen to is Biden, I can understand why you would feel like you were toast. But look, we have a wonderful God. And He set things in motion. And I believe that we're in the midst of a great awakening right now. We're learning things daily. We're seeing new things. We're learning truths that we didn't know before. I honestly think that God is bringing us in to a whole new dispensation. We're being birthed into a whole new time period. I believe that God is bringing us in to our first jubilee. See, God had a lot of feasts. These Jewish feasts and holidays were celebrated. They still are celebrated every year, faithfully, by Jews and Christians. You know, we celebrate Passover. They celebrate Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shabbat, Purim, Sukkot. Some of them I can't even name. But all these feasts, they celebrate every year. And God gave us specific directions on how to do it. He wrote it out in the Bible. Told us how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, when to celebrate, all of this. How many of you ever celebrated Jubilee? How many of you have ever studied Jubilee? How many have you ever wondered why we never talk about Jubilee? See, Jubilee is one of those things that the devil really, really wants us to forget. That it was ever put into existence. I want you to turn over to Leviticus chapter 25. Verse 14. When thou sellest aught to thy neighbor, or buyest at thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. But according to the number of years after the jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor. Also according to the number of years of the revenues he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitudes of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years, thou shalt abate the price of it. For the number of fruits doth he sell unto thee. Oppress not ye therefore any man his neighbor, that thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord your God. Here's an interesting thing about Jubilee. It was supposed to be celebrated every 7 years. And then there's supposed to be a massive one after 49 years. What happened was, in this jubilee that nobody ever seemed to celebrate, was all debts were forgiven. Property was returned. If you lost anything from a bad loan, it got returned to you. We have to understand that this world has been, the whole world and every single thing that we are involved with daily, even the most precious things to us, have been manipulated by Satan. He's got his tentacles into everything. He's even manipulated our Bibles. It makes a lot of people mad when I tell them that the devil has manipulated your Bible. That can't be. Really? Do you suppose God himself would put the word Easter in his word, knowing that Easter is a celebration of a fertility god? That's a manipulation of our Bible. Just understand that we got the important stuff in there. God made sure the important stuff stayed in there, like salvation. Amen? Trust in God with all your heart. Trust in Jesus. And know that we have an enemy out there. And God is dealing with that enemy. And he's bringing him to an end. The Bible does tell us that the devil is coming to an end. And God is on our side. And we don't know everything. But he does. He knows the beginning from the end. And he said, with a long life will he satisfy you. And we're on the cusp of something very, very special. I just think this next 8 months is going to be a whopper. You think 2019 was something special. This next 8 months is going to be something else. Because I really believe that the devil is in big trouble. But you also need to understand, when you stomp on a rattlesnake's head and wound him, and you step back, that snake is going to strike at anything. He's going to strike wild. He's going to make wild moves. He's going to just strike at anything. That's the way the devil is right now. We need to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Don't stick your neck out taking wild chances. Trust in God with all your heart. Plead the blood of Jesus. But be smart. See, the devil is doing everything he can do to destroy us. Now, that sounds like one thing everybody knows that, right? But what they don't seem to understand is that the same way God uses people, the devil uses people. The devil uses people to try to destroy us. And he has a whole bunch of them in the government. In case you haven't noticed, they are not your friends. God is. Now, what you need to understand is the devil's never been able to create anything. He's never been able to create anything. All he's been able to do is just counterfeit and twist. He took the blessing, twisted it, turned it into the curse. Now, the Bible tells us that the government is going to rest on Jesus' shoulders. That's a one world government, doesn't that sound like a one world government? Jesus is going to be the head of the government. And the Bible tells us that he's going to bring us all together in the unity of the faith. That sounds like a one world church. And as far as the currency goes, you know, he's into gold and silver. He makes pavement out of gold. Not Bitcoin. Yeah. He makes it out of real stuff. So there's our one world currency, our one world government, and our one world church. Knowing this, that God has already established something. The devil has tried to twist it. So he's tried to make a one world currency. He's tried to make a one world government. And he's tried to make a one world church. You know, it just irritated me to no end to see these pastors and the popes and the Islam whatever they call them, get up on stage and say they're one people, and they were going to have a religion, they call it Chrislam. And I actually had a couple pastors confront me on some of this stuff, saying, well, we just got the same God. And I said, no, we do not. My God does not tell me to kill anybody. My God does not tell me to rape children. My God does not tell me to do any of that stuff. Ever. We do not have the same God. So for Christians, or I sometimes wonder how Christian they are if they decide they're going to join elbows with Muslims. I have a hard time with that. You know, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. He is the Son of God. And it's by His blood that we are saved. Amen? But the thing about Jubilee is it's never been celebrated. It's supposed to be where everybody gets set free. We live in America, the land of the free, but do you realize that we're not as free as you think? We're not. Through hundreds of years, we've had freedoms and liberties in Christ get trimmed away from us, little bits at a time. Just a little bit so that it didn't make us uncomfortable. They'd make subtle changes. Because if they did it all at once, you'd be real uncomfortable and you'd fight. Now, I believe that somebody asked me the other day, they said, do you believe in the Constitution? I said, which one? They said, there's only one. I said, there's two. Did you know that? There's two. It got changed. There's always been some major event happen to cause a change. That's why, if you noticed, Trump never got us in any wars. And that the evil people are trying desperately to get us into a war, because if they can get us into a war, then they can justify a change. But peace, Jesus said to follow peace. Seek peace wherever possible and follow peace. Peace through strength will cause all good things to come. So this Jubilee we're talking about, I believe we're on the very edge of it. You got to know that we're in a major shift in our world. You know, if you haven't noticed, there's a monetary change coming. If you ever get a chance to look at the debt clock, look, yeah. But here's the thing. Don't look at the debt rising up. Go all the way over to the right side of the screen where it talks about our money supply, where it shows our money supply. We're losing $70 million a day on available money. What happens when that's gone? I think we go into a whole new financial system. But there's good news. God is in control more than we think. Now, on this earth, He's given us dominion, and we do have a part in this. We do have a part in this. But God's going to cause us to be victorious. Look over to Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Two different kinds of people in America. Did you know that? There's patriotic Americans, and there's people that are not for this country. It's not Republican, Democrat. It's patriots that want to live free, and people that don't care anything about this country and don't want to live free. And don't think that just because they have R in front of their name that they're a good old boy, because they're not. That's why I was really glad when Trump showed up, he showed that the Republicans and Democrats were both the same people, because they all hated him. And we were just deceived into thinking that one was good and the other one wasn't. But just because they have a D in front of their name doesn't mean they're bad. I've known several really, really good Democrats. Some of them, one of them I loved dearly. I think he was the most wonderful man I ever knew. He's a staunch Democrat. He was not going to change. He was a Democrat all his life. Wonderful man. But just because he had a D in front of his name didn't mean he was bad. We got to get that out of our head. Now we've got this idea that we're going to stand for Israel no matter what. Right? Which kind of Jew are you going to pray for? Do you know there's two different kinds? Revelation chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which call themselves Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I say, I will make them that they shall come and worship before my feet and shall know that I have loved you." There's two different kinds of Jews. You have to understand this. You absolutely have to understand this. See, the devil called him. The devil had a group of people that were Satanists that were doing the same terrible things that they're doing today. And the big countries around them cornered them and said, "You got to pick one of the three major religions. You can either be a Christian, you can be a Muslim, or you can be a Jew. Which one are you going to be?" He said, "Okay, we're Jews." It's important to learn a little bit of history sometimes. Find out why things are the way they are. So now we understand we have two different kinds of Jews, so we can understand why some of them do bad things and some of them do wonderful things. We have different kinds of churchgoers. Now we can understand why we have some pastors go down to bless Planned Parenthood. And we have some that stand against abortion. These are questions that used to come to me all the time. People come up and say, "These guys said they're this. Why are they doing that?" And I said, "Just because they go to church doesn't mean that they're born again." You know, you can go to church every Sunday. If you're in the right building, you can go to church every Sunday and not ever hear the word salvation. In fact, a friend of mine went to preach at a big denominational church in San Angelo one time. And the pastor come back there and told him while he was getting ready, he said, "We do not preach salvation in this church." So he preached born again. One thing about the guy that raised us up in the Lord, You don't back down from anybody, and you will preach salvation, whether they like to hear it or not. Amen. After all, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Christ. But this Jubilee is a wonderful thing, and it sounds a lot like the millennial reign to me. Look over to Revelation chapter 21, and I'll finish up on this Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. But the thing is about the two different kinds of Jews is there's the one group that were the Satanists that control 99% of the money in this world. Did you know that? They controlled most of the money. And they controlled most of the politicians. That's why we have not been relieved of our debts. Did you know you're still in debt? Even if you have your house paid off, your car paid off, you don't owe any bills, you're still in debt. And the reason I say you're still in debt is because you still pay taxes. You still go down here to the tax office to pay them guys money so you can have permission to drive the pickup that you paid for. You're still paying off a debt. You're not as free as you think. You scream about freedom, but liberty has been absconded with. If you have to ask permission to do something that God has given you the liberty to do, you're no longer free. How many of you have driver's license? That's a permission card for you to use the fairways. But the Constitution says you already have a right to use. But you have to go get permission to do it. Revelation chapter 21 says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city Jerusalem come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride trimmed for her husband. How many of you have been taught that the church is the bride of Christ? We're not. We're the body of Christ. Masculine. Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. That's where his government is going to rest. On this new Jerusalem. That I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God with them. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the first things are past. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these things are faithful and true. He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the well of water of life freely. That sounds like heaven, doesn't it? But it's here, talking about the New Jerusalem coming to earth and that government being set up here. No more tears on this earth. No more pain. This is the new world that God is bringing us to. I don't know exactly how it's going to get there, how we're going to get there. I don't know when we're going to get there. I mean, There's a lot of things I don't know. All I know is God is going to get us to a whole new dispensation. And I believe that we're fortunate enough to be the ones that get to witness this. There's going to be a lot of transformation happening. There's going to be a lot of things change. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be anything normal. It's going to be a new and wonderful thing that God created. It's going to be fun. Just know this, though. The same way a wounded snake strikes out wildly, the devil is going to do something crazy. We see him trying to do something crazy all the time. I mean, Biden's flying in 30,000 people a month from other countries, unvetted, landing them all over. We're scattering them all over. You know, Texas is shipping them out on buses by the thousands, scattering them all over, not keeping them up in one little area. They're getting scattered all over the place. Expect chaos. Expect chaos. The devil is the author of chaos. So you should expect chaos, but believe God is going to make things right. Amen? Look over to Revelation chapter 20. Verse 1 says, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he took the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and he bound him 1,000 and cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up and sealed the door upon him, that he should deceive the people no more till 1,000 years were fulfilled, for after that he must be loosed for a little season. He's going to be, the deceiver is going to be taken out of the way. How wonderful would it be to walk on this earth without the deceiver getting in your way? We'll suddenly get the revelation that what we called racism was really the spirit of division. And the spirit of division worked in the church too. Did you know that? In the book of Acts, there was one church. They called it the Way. The Way. Well, after Satan seen Peter preach his first sermon and get 3,000 people born again, his first sermon, he decided that was not going to do. So he started causing divisions in the church. And he's gotten so efficient at it now. I don't know how many denominations there are, 7,000 different groups of people. I don't know. It's so carried away now. It really, seriously, it just takes a resentment and a coffee pot and you can start a new church. People will argue about the color of the carpet. One time they called me. They were all up in an uproar. They were fighting. They were mad. And I said, what's wrong? So, well, somebody put a Christmas tree up on the stage and it got in front of the cross. And they were literally just about ready to go to blows. So I took a sacrificial Bible If you don't know what a sacrificial Bible is, it's a New International Version. That's sacrificial Bible. Took it up there, and I started ripping pages out of the Bible and throwing it at them. I said, here, you don't like this part of the Bible, so just forget about that part. But that promise that's on the other page, you can forget about it too, because you ripped that page out. Started, threw some more pages at them. They're real religious people. And I said, by the time you guys get done fighting about what you don't agree on, all you're going to have is a leather cover. And you're going to be arguing about whether it's genuine leather or not. Knock it off. Because it's just the devil. Something to fight about. Something to argue about. Don't fall for it. Find something you can agree on. Find something you can agree on, believe in it, and act on it. Move on it. Now, we're going to go on a trip. And how comfortable this trip is for you is going to be what you're believing on. But you're going to go on the trip. You know, some people like to say we're all in the same boat. No, we're not in the same boat. We're in the same storm. Some people are cruising on a big old ship, sitting back having a good time, believing in God, believing in Jesus, resting in His love. And some people are in a canoe, hoping they don't get too wet. And some people are hanging on to a stick. All we need to do is help those people that are hanging on to a stick, encourage them, let them know that God is going to make things right. Encourage them, help them get their faith anchored in something and help them go forward. Just like everybody else, I don't know how this thing's going to go down. I mean, we could get raptured out of here tomorrow. Anything could happen. But just know this, we're going somewhere else. And it's not going to be the same old game. Amen? But look forward to it and rejoice in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we are heading to a time of great peace, great healing, and a coming together. Father, we're all going to be looking to you. We're going to be in agreement. We're going to be in peace. We're going to live in a land of love and harmony and abundance and health. And that Jesus will be the head of our government. He will be the head of our church. He will be the head of everything. He will be the center of our world, His rightful place. And Father, we thank you for taking us along on the trip. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have coffee and donuts and cinnamon rolls back here.